The great solar eclipse of 2024. Well, was it all it was cracked up to be? No pun intended. Well, it wasn't the end of the world, but some pretty crazy things happened to me, and I'm wondering if some things like that may have happened to you too. This podcast is brought to you by thegigcoach.com. If you're a musician or singer or someone who's thought of maybe becoming a mobile DJ, I'm here to show you how to build a fun and profitable business playing family-friendly songs. How do I know? Because I've done it for over 15 years. I've been playing family-friendly music on more than 300 well-paid shows each year since 2008. If you're a Christian, like I am, you are desperately needed in the world of entertainment, now more than ever. I have a proven blueprint that will teach you how to become the most in-demand entertainer in your market, no matter what your current musical skill levels happen to be. TheGigCoach.com. Go there now and join to get lots of free information, strategies, and insights that can show you how to stop wasting your talent and start earning a good living with the gifts you've been given. TheGigCoach.com. TheGigCoach.com. That's right, the Gig Coach. That is what they call me. My name, my real name, is Rick Bell, and I have a couple of different things that I do. My day job, as you may say, is music. I perform. I'm a full-time performer. I host trivia nights. I'm an MC. I used to do some radio things, but not much of that anymore. I play a lot of weddings on the weekends, and I play a lot of restaurants and things like that through the week. They're called residency gigs. Through the day, I do retirement centers, which are tremendous opportunities for anyone who's, likes that kind of music and can relate to that. They're begging for people to go. They're well paid. It's not like you volunteer. You can volunteer if you want to, but if you're like me and this is your livelihood, they will pay you very handsomely, anywhere from a couple of hundred dollars an hour, maybe 300. Some of them I have pay that. And that's your job. That's what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. And yes, you can be a Christian like I am and make money with talent. Someone's going to do it. Someone is going to be out there playing music that people want to hear. That's a whole other podcast in itself. But I'm here to talk about the great 2024 total eclipse. I happen to be near Austin, Texas, so we got the full meal deal. It came over directly over us at 1:37 in the afternoon. I didn't think much about it. We've had a few eclipses over the years, but I did pick up a pair of the glasses. They were on sale at one of the convenience stores for like two pair for $3. So I grabbed them just in case. So I had a gig that day, which I have pretty much, well, every day of the week. So I was headed to my Monday afternoon show. And my start time was at 2 p.m. and it was at a retirement center. So as I will typically get there about 30 minutes early, just so I'm not rushed setting up. Well, when I pull up, the little old ladies and gentlemen are all sitting outside. They're all in chairs. It's really cute. You get attached to these people. And they're sitting out there, and they're drinking some Kool-Aid, and they have their little glasses, and I mean a lot of them. There were probably 40 or 50 of them. It was a big event. So they sat out there and watched the eclipse, and I parked my Suburban and got out. Not in the parking lot there. I didn't want to do any distractions, so I went one parking lot over and got out, and sure enough, here came the eclipse. I put my little $3 glass. Actually, they were probably $1.50 since I got two pair for $3. I put them on, and I watched it, and I noticed everything got very still. It was a weird thing. I did not expect this. I did not expect it to be weird in any way, nor did anyone who I had spoken to expect it to be a weird thing. It might get a little dark for a minute or two, and then everything's all right. As I gazed up at that, and I'm a spiritual person, all right? my other thing, I'm a musician, I do that. The Lord called me into a deliverance ministry. That means dealing with demons, exorcisms, back in 2012. I didn't choose to do it. Anyone in their right mind is not going to choose to want to be involved with that because there's a lot of baggage that comes along with it and a lot of liabilities for you personally. And that's another podcast in itself. But I've been in deliverance and dealing in that spirit realm for a long time. Well, since 2012. Before that, I'd been born again. I was an atheist, full-blown antagonistic atheist, militant atheist. I would argue with people. When I was 21 years old, I was a rock and roll musician, and I happened to be a black belt in karate. That was my thing. I loved martial arts, loved karate. So I had earned a black belt by that time, and I was playing music, rock and roll, whatever, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the real deal. And my life was pretty good. I wasn't really looking for anything. And I was teaching karate in something called a Nautilus Fitness Center. Back in the day, this was in 1980, there was workout equipment known as Nautilus equipment. A guy had invented this, a Dr. Jones, I believe his name was, but he had invented this kind of equipment, and it was the rage. So I was the karate instructor, one of them. There were a couple of us. Actually, there were three of us there, but I was the second highest rank karate black belt there. So I worked at the Nautilus Center, enrolling people to join the fitness center and then enrolling them in karate classes. And I was quite a good salesman. I rarely ever didn't close the deal. So these three strangers walked in one day. They were in their mid-20s, two guys and a girl. And they began to speak with me, and I gave them the tour, and I did the close like I always did. And like I said, I had a 99% closing ratio. Everyone signed up. We're talking about $30 a month, you know, not a lot of money, even back then. But they didn't sign up. They said, no, we have to go and pray about it. So I'm an atheist now. I laugh at God. He's like Santa Claus to me. So I kicked into my salesman mode, my Zig Ziglar mode, if anyone knows who that is. It's an old school sales trainer. Brian Tracy is another one I studied. Tom Hopkins, all these guys. And I would read their books and listen to their tapes. So I kicked into my super salesman mode to counter their objection. These three people, two guys and a girl, they're Christians, and they told me they were Christians. Long story short, because this is all in my book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, and you can pick it up anywhere. It's on Audible. It's Amazon. Boxing Blindfolded with Demons by Rick Bell. If you want to read my story, it's very interesting. So these three strangers ended up telling me about this Jesus thing. And before I knew it, they asked if they could put their hands on me and pray. And when they did, I'm an atheist, a white light. It was like a near-death experience. A white light filled the room. I felt something come over me from the head, my head to my toe. And I was sitting in my chair behind my desk. These people are behind me with their hands on my shoulders praying for me. I'm an atheist. I have basically an out-of-body afterlife experience. Right now, I'm in this white light, and I see this figure. And this figure is a man standing about 15 feet in earthly terms from me. He's facing me. But I can't see his face because it's so bright. It's like there's this white light. It's like the sun, but brighter, but it doesn't hurt your eyes. Very strange. And it looks to be behind this man, so I cannot see his face or his features. And then I realized the light was coming from the man. The man was the light. I'm an atheist. He's got his arms at his side, and he speaks to me telepathically. There are no words spoken. In that realm, you don't use words. It's thought to thought. This may sound crazy to some of you. This happened to me. I wasn't high. I didn't use any drugs. I was into fitness. I was a martial arts instructor, and I was training to be a kickboxer at the time, so I was clean. I didn't drink or do anything. This is what happened to me. In that white light, this man spoke to me, and he said, I am Jesus. Come unto me. I spoke back to him without any words. I said, Jesus, I know it's you. I am coming to you. I closed my eyes again, and I was back in my body, and this feeling was pouring over me like this warm liquid honey pouring from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it's moving at about an inch every 5 seconds, very slow, very thick. I could feel it, all right? But there wasn't anything in the physical realm pouring down, but I could feel it. So by the time it got to my feet, I began to speak in a language I'd never heard. I had never heard of speaking in tongues. I'd never heard of it, much less anyone do it. But I started pouring out this language for the next 45 minutes, fluently. When I came to, when I woke up from that trance-like thing for 45 minutes where I couldn't even speak English. I was speaking in this foreign language. I don't know what it was. Speaking in tongues. When I came to, I was a different human being. The world was totally different. The fragrances I smelled, I'd never smelled before. The colors, I'd never seen the bright colors of the world. I knew that I had been born again. No one told me what that meant. I'd never heard of it. But I knew in my spirit, I'm a baby. I've been born again. It was the most amazing experience. And I just gave you the encapsulated version. That's the short version. Again, it's all in my book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons by Rick Bell. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And I'm not trying to sell books, but if that story intrigued you, there's a lot more to it. I was working for the mob at the time, and it's all in the book. So that was my background as a Christian. And in 2012, I was on fire for God for Jesus when I first was a Christian, and that lasted for a while, a few years, as it always does. But then the issues that you have in your life, and I learned this later, of course, I didn't know it then. No one taught this. No one taught me that you have demonic baggage, you have demonic attachments that have become part of your life. They've intertwined themselves around you. And you can become a born-again, on-fire Christian, and those things will leave for a season. Then they will come back, and they will bring their buddies with them, their friends, reinforcements. The Bible talks about bringing seven more deadly than themselves that were there the first time. So that creeps back in your life. Doesn't come all at once. It's like the frog in the boiling pot. You know, it's in there. It starts out. The water's a little warm, and gradually it increases till the thing's boiled and he didn't even know it was happening. So that was my thing. And I ended up, making terrible life decisions because I had demonic baggage. Listen, if you get nothing else from what I'm saying, I've been doing this deliverance now for over 10 years. Christians can have demons. They can have, I've lived it. I've seen it. I've seen pastors. I've seen wives of pastors. I've seen people manifest things that looked like that came off Linda Blair in The Exorcist. I've seen it. Not making this stuff up. I don't have anything to gain by making these things up. In fact, I'd rather not even share it because it makes me sound like a kook to people in the world. They think I'm nuts if they hear this stuff. So it costs me something to go on the air and say these things in front of, a million people, basically. But that's what it happened. So I got in, the Lord called me into deliverance ministry because my life had become a train wreck. I had gotten in a marriage I should have never gotten into with basically a demon-possessed woman. Now, some of you know exactly what I am talking about because you probably ended up in a relationship somewhere along the way with someone who, let's just say, weren't quite right. Well, there were demonic drivers behind that. The Bible, and I'm not quoting a bunch of Bible stuff here, but I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul, he said, we don't wrestle against people in flesh and blood. We're fighting with spiritual principalities and powers. That wasn't even real to me until 2012 when God said, okay, I'm calling you into deliverance. I said, who is that? What is that? What's that voice? Am I losing my mind? And then through a series of occurrences, he fast-tracked me into some it's incredible stuff. But we're not going to go into that here. We're going to talk about the eclipse. So that's my background. So since 2012, I've been in this deliverance thing. I got in it real heavy for a few years, and I was doing a lot of podcasts and all that. The thing with doing podcasts on deliverance is many people reach out to you because they want deliverance. They want help with that. So I was doing a lot of those for a long time on Zoom and some of them in person. Sometimes people would come in. I'm near Austin, Texas, and they would, we'd set up a meeting and go do that. Did that for a while, and it's very taxing, all right? It's not a joke. It's not some hobby that you want to go and I'm going to cast out some demons. That sounds like a cool thing to do on Friday. Man, I don't have anything to do. Yeah. No, if you approach it that way, you're going to get hurt. I don't care how prayed up you think you are. If you don't know how to deal with the demonic realm, it's dangerous. They will make you sick. They will make your pets sick. They will attack your finance. I'm talking they, the demons, the demonic, the dark powers. They can do things to you. And I'm here to tell you firsthand, just trust me, the things I'm getting ready to tell you happened to me. So back to the eclipse. We're kind of joking about it, thinking everyone I've spoken with said, eclipse, whatever. So I'm standing out in a parking lot alone, looking up at this thing, and as it got more and more complete, total eclipse, this feeling started coming over me. I mean, I got goosebumps. I started feeling something's going on, something's weird about this. And then the total thing happened, and everything went dark, and it was completely quiet. There was no cars moving, there was nothing, and I live in a pretty busy metropolitan type area. Nothing was moving, and it was dark for a few minutes. And after that, it was, I didn't know what had happened, but I felt like something had happened. When you do deliverance ministry and you move in that spiritual realm, you start to, your spiritual senses become more attuned, all right? You get more what I call Holy Ghost gym fit. You go to the Holy Ghost gym more, and you get where you can discern things. So I knew something had changed. All right, that was on a Monday, April the 8th on Monday. Did my show, whatever. Next day was Tuesday. I had to go do my Tuesday shows. One of them is a daytime. The other one is a night, an evening show. It's from 7 to 8, basically. So I'm at this beautiful little, it's a little hamlet-type retirement center outside of Austin, 20 minutes from Austin. And it's a very wealthy community. People go there to retire. They come from all over the United States to this place. And you drive around in your golf cart. It's that kind of a place. You literally drive on the streets in your golf cart. It's a real small, little exclusive area. So I'm doing my thing there. And one of the guys at the table said, hey, we may have to leave a little early. There's a storm coming. And I said, yeah, okay, whatever. And I make a joke because I'm on the microphone being the MC for the event and all that. Everyone kind of chuckles. Well, in about 10 minutes, the worst hail storm that's ever hit that area hit about a 4-block area. It was a tornado. And it hit the building where I was. It had a metal roof on this, a large commercial building. And it sounded like someone had a machine gun shooting. I've heard hail before. I've been in hailstorms. Nothing like this. These were like projectiles coming, baseball size hail. It totaled dozens of very expensive cars. We're talking Mercedes-Benz and Lexus and Cadillacs. These people, they drive nice cars. Totaled, shattered windshields. Looked like someone had taken a ball peen hammer and hit it 400 times. When the insurance company totals a car from hail, that's terrible. These hailstones were going through people's roofs. They were destroying all of their solar panels. All of that, forget that. That's shattered like whatever. These people have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. All in this one little 4-block area where I was. So I have my Suburban there. My Chevy Suburban that I carry all my equipment in because I do this every day. I perform. So the girl who works at the restaurant where I was, she ran up to me and said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your back window's completely shattered and water's pouring in your Suburban. What? I run out there. Sure enough, that hail had broken everything. Broke my front windshield, shattered my back, and there was glass everywhere, water pouring in. The venue where I was began to flood. Floodwaters started coming under the floor onto my equipment. I had to rush and put it up to higher ground. People, it was packed. all of these shows I do are basically packed full of people, and they can't leave because the hail is like, you know, bullets hitting them if they try to go outside. They're watching their cars being destroyed. It's horrible. That was on Tuesday. I drove home in the driving rain hailstorm with my back window blown out, worrying that my equipment, my very expensive music equipment, was going to somehow fall out or get wet. So, and you couldn't drive over 25 miles an hour. It's on interstate, but you could just couldn't because it was hailing so hard you couldn't see anything. Cars were pulled over. They were in the ditch everywhere. It was pretty much a Mad Max kind of a scenario. That was on Tuesday. Yeah, it's all tied back to something weird happened with that eclipse. I spoke to some people about the eclipse. The day that it happened, on that Monday, some people came to my Monday night show. You know, I do this every night. And I said, hey, what did you think of the eclipse? And one of the ladies, she's a friend that comes all the time, she said, you know, I was kind of just poo-pooing it and thinking it's no big deal. I didn't pay much attention to it. But she said, and this is not a Christian woman. She's just, you know, a nice person, but she's not a follower of Jesus. She said, there was something about that eclipse. She said, it gave me goosebumps. Just talking about it now, I'm getting goosebumps. She said, I don't know what it was, but it was something that happened. Now, I heard that from three different people, and unrelated, but they told me how that eclipse had affected them. Me being the, you know, demonic person, spiritual battle warrior that I am, I, you know, sometimes I can have this conversation with people. I can't get too deep with them if they're not, they don't understand what I'm even talking about. Their eyes will roll back in their head. But I mentioned to them, yeah, there's some kind of a spiritual connection with all this. There's something more to it than just, it did something in the heavenlies. All right. That was Tuesday, the hailstorm. Wednesday. My house is hot. My air conditioning central unit, I keep turning it down, and it's just not cooling. It's getting hot in Texas. All right, it's April. It's getting hot. I call the air conditioning guy, who's a buddy of mine, used to be my neighbor, lived across the street from me. Called him, said, hey, come check this out. I don't know what's going on with it. He said, yeah, no problem. I'll be over there. So he came and put his little meters and gauges on everything, and I had to go out of town, you know, for one of my deals, my music things. He calls me. He said, well, I got some bad news. I said, what kind of bad news? You're going to have a new unit, an entirely new unit. I said, what? He said, yeah, your condenser has gone out. It's gone. It's toast. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, it's done. So you need to start looking for one. I said, well, how much is that going to cost? He goes, oh, you should be able to get one for, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000. I said, $3,000 or $4,000? Okay. that was my Wednesday. So I try to order it, put it on my card. I have a debit card. I don't do any credit. Everything's debit. I don't do credit cards anymore, you know. Did them, but hey, I got the t-shirt, been there, done that, not doing them again. So I do a debit card. Ordered the, now you understand there's no air conditioning in my house and it's hot. It's been 90 something degrees here in Texas, near Austin. Ordered the replacement unit, big deal. You know, it's the whole thing that sits outside. And it was, $2,600, something like that. I found a real good deal on it. It was $2,600. And then, of course, I have to pay to have it all installed, which is a whole other thing. But so I ordered it. I put it on my card, and I got the guy scheduled. It was going to be here, you know, in 3 days, whatever. Well, I get a notice the next day, you know, 24 hours later. It says, oh, by the way, now I ordered it from Amazon. All right. It was the best, the fastest place I could get it was Amazon. If I tried to go through a dealer, it was going to take a week or 10 days to get it shipped. Amazon, you can get it in 2 or 3 days. That's the only reason I did it, because my house is hot. I need some AC. Get a notice from Amazon. Oh, your card is declined. What? Well, that can't be. I know how much money is in there, and there's enough money, more than enough, to pay for that. A lot more, double, triple enough, but it was declined. So this was This had gotten to be a weekend by now. It was Friday afternoon. So I called the bank. Well, guess what? It's a credit union, and they were closed all weekend. So I couldn't get a live human being on the phone until Monday. Credit union stuff. So that delayed the whole, that delayed the shipping of the thing. So Monday, I go down there and I say, what's going on with the card? Why is it declined? There's money in there. They said, oh, yeah, but we have a standard $1,200 a day limit on any purchase. I said, what? What do you mean a $1,200? Yeah, we have that. I said, for who? For everyone? They said, yes, everyone has that on their card. I said, well, what if we have to buy something in an emergency like this? She said, well, you have to call us and we'll put a 24-hour exception on your thing so you can buy this one thing and then it'll go back to that $1,200 limit. I said, that is a most inconvenient thing. She said, do you want us to raise it? I said, no, just leave it. I'll use my other card. Thank God I had another debit card, another account. Move some money around, put it in there. I reorder the thing, okay, on the different card, different debit card. Don't hear anything from them 2 days. I get a notice, card declined. What? This is the different bank. This is the different one. I contact them. What's going on? I know the money's in there. What's the problem? Oh, well, we have a $2,500 limit on a daily. I said, another limit? When did these limits come in? I'd never heard of limits, but apparently it's something to keep them from being so exposed to fraud, okay? So if someone gets your card, they're only on the hook for that amount. That's what it's about. They didn't tell me that, but I figured it out. So I had to get them to raise. I said, I want my limit raised permanently, not for 2 days or 1 day. They said, oh, it'll be permanent. It will be permanent. These people have been my bankers for 25 years. But everything's changed in that banking world. So they raised my limit. I resubmitted the card, and it worked. It went through to Amazon. So today, they call and say, hey, your air conditioning unit is here. I said, so soon? Wow, that's pretty impressive because last night I just got it to clear and go through. Oh, yeah, we're bringing it over. Sure enough, in about an hour, a big truck pulls out to my driveway and a forklift gets out and unloads this pallet with a huge, unit on it. I think, well, that's great. Good. Thank you. It made it. Thank you, Lord. Now I set my guy up to come this weekend and he can install the thing. It's super heavy, but I'm going to be out of town playing a wedding, but he can take care of it. So that's one thing that I said, oh, good. I'm glad that. Yeah, that's one less thing I have to worry about. I get a notice on my phone about that time that says, your unit is shipping. It's on its way. I said, what? I've already gotten the unit. So I started the arduous task of trying to reach out to Amazon to find out what in the world is going on. What do you mean, my unit? I've already got it. I had a sneaking suspicion that first order had mysteriously gone through along with my second order. So I had two units at a cost of about $3,000 apiece coming to my house. Well, lo and behold, sure enough, that's what was going on. They had doubled me. I had the one in the driveway. They had another one coming because they had forgotten to cancel. It didn't need to be canceled. It was never placed, but their system had shown too. So that was what I've been dealing with. Hot, 94 degrees at night. And, I hate to say it. When I was a kid, we didn't have air conditioning in our little elementary schools. We were in the South, and it was hot. But, boy, we've gotten accustomed to it now. And you go a couple of days without air conditioning in Texas in the spring or the summer, you will appreciate it. So I've been, sleeping in a pool of sweat and waking up in the middle of the night with hellacious nightmares. That's another byproduct of being plugged into that spiritual realm and doing the deliverance stuff, doing the exorcisms. When you do that, you're typically, when you have the ability to tell people what's going on in their lives called discerning spirits. A lot of times you discover that you are an empath. I'm an empath. I didn't know that was even a thing. I thought if you had empathy, you were felt sorry for someone. I didn't know it was a thing to be an empath. Yes, it's a real thing. Found a couple of books that changed my life and let me understand why I was the way I was, why I knew things about people. Total strangers. That comes in real handy when you're doing exorcisms with people to know what's really going on. So that gift in me has been getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So I'm an empath and I feel these things. The downside of that is you're super plugged into the spirit realm. That's not a good thing all the time. Because when there's stuff happening, when what I call the veil being thinned and the spirit realm, the supernatural realm, the demonic realm, when the spirits are coming through, they're wreaking havoc. And all these things I'm telling you, the hailstorm, the air conditioning deal, the credit card, and there are about five other things that happen, bam, 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 right at that time. Now, I've been doing this long enough to recognize when it is an attack. It's not a just happenstance that these things are all happening. What a coincidence. What a strange coincidence. There's more to it than that. And trust me when I tell you that. There's more to it because right after that, you'll have a season of real blessing. Good things are going to be happening to you. You'll see when you've done it for a while. That's how it moves in cycles that way. But those were the attacks that I was getting. And they've just now started to lift. But if you look and you'll do a little bit of research, you'll find out that CERN, the Hadron Superhadron Collider, where they're trying to find the God particle, they fired that thing up during the eclipse. What's that about? Why did they need to do that? Why was NASA firing rockets toward the eclipse? I don't understand. Now, they'll have an excuse or something, but it's all strange. You get to a point where there's an old song, I think Marvin Gaye had it, that said, oh yeah, I heard it through the grapevine. That's the song in it. It's a believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. We're living in a time of great deception. And I mean, it goes all the way from the government obviously lying to us on so many levels every day, every hour of the day. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a realist theorist. I look at what's really happening. One of the things that I was impressed upon in my spirit when God called me into this deliverance ministry thing, he spoke some things in my spirit. One of them was, don't listen to what people say about what works, what doesn't work, what exorcism is, that Christians can't have demons. He said, don't listen to any of that. Watch the fruit. Watch the fruit of their lives and what's going on. Look at what's happening and believe your lying eyes, because your eyes are not lying to you. You're seeing all of these things. And this is deep. We can go down a rabbit hole here, but I'm here to tell you, I didn't believe any of this stuff. I thought it was crazy. When I first went on the radio and started talking about this around 2015, but lo and behold, the conspiracies prove to be true. And where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke. Something is going on. Something changed in the spirit realm, I believe, with that eclipse. Now, is it a permanent change? I don't know. Did demonic entities come through into our realm at a greater pace? I believe they did, because I have some experience in this, and I can pretty much set a normal and tell you what's a normal feeling of oppression. And this thing went way off the charts. And not me. I mean, people, solid, strong Christians that I know are having the same kinds of issues. Financial situations, sicknesses, mechanical things breaking down. And there are more. I'm just not going to spend the time here going into it with you. But what I wanted to say to you, if you are experiencing things differently now, you are not crazy. Something changed in the spirit realm. And if you're a spiritual person, you know, if you're not spiritual, if you're just basically, you know, person going through life. You don't care anything about angels or God or demons or any of that stuff. You may rock along. You won't even know what's hitting you. The title of my book is Boxing Blindfolded with Demons. Think about that concept for a moment. We're basically in a boxing match with an opponent. And I know about this because I was a professional boxer and kickboxer. That's how I basically got here, doing this stuff. When you're in a ring with an opponent, you cannot imagine how hard it is to keep him from hitting you when you can see him. Imagine being blindfolded, and he's just taking pot shots at you whenever he wants to. That's what we do. We live in a blindfolded world. There's a world all around us, a supernatural world, where things are happening all the time. We're not always under attack because we couldn't stand it. It would make us jump off a bridge. We literally couldn't stand it. So there are seasons. It's just like that story in the Bible about Job when Satan went to God and asked him, hey, let me hit Job down there. You've got this protection around him, but if you'll lift that and let me hit him, I'll get him to curse you. You'll see. And God lifted some of it, but he said, you can't kill him. So there are limits. Without those limits, we'd be done. We'd be toast. Stick a fork in us. But God does have limits. So you may say, well, why does God let us go through this? Why doesn't he just eradicate it all? Because it grows us in some ways that we can't understand right now. When I was boxing, one of the things we had to do when I was kickboxing, part of my martial arts thing, we sparred. We had sparring sessions that were brutal. If you want to be successful in that sport, they're going to be brutal training sessions and sparring sessions. But they made me a champion. I ended up being undefeated in my career, and I won a championship belt. I won a title because of the toughness that developed in me sparring. And it is the same thing in this Christian life. The things that don't kill you make you stronger, right? And God's not going to let you get killed, but you are going to have to toughen up. And it's going to seem like sometimes you can't make it through this. I only told you about two or three things that have happened to me. There have been five or six other things over these last few days, and it makes you question, God, why am I even doing all this stuff? I'd like to just get in a hole and die, not to have to. What's the use? You start feeling that oppression, that depression comes on you. Here's, you fight through it. You keep going. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. When you're in a boxing ring and you get hit and knocked down, you've got to get up. You either get up or you crawl out of the ring and never come back. But you've got to get up and keep going and keep fighting. So when these things happen, it is all designed to get your peace. Your attitude is what's important, your mind. Satan's desire is to steal your peace. And if you can do that and get your mind preoccupied, you're no good for anything. You're not good for any relationship. You're no good for work. You're just struggling day to day to hang on. Well, there are ways that you can become stronger so those attacks only have a temporary effect on you. The attacks will still come. The Bible's clear. It says you're going to have troubles in this life. But Jesus said, have no fear because I have overcome those troubles. I've overcome the world. So the more you get plugged into Jesus, the power, the source, the more you're going to be able to defeat these demonic strongholds. Once again, I have experience in this stuff. The only thing that works with the demons is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that whole thing that happened on the cross, his blood that spilled. It was for the atonement. Again, we could spend 10 hours talking about all this, and we will in future podcasts. But I wanted to just share that with you about the great eclipse of 2024. And if you're feeling things that kind of crazy feeling to you, you're not alone. I'm Rick Bell. I'll see you next time. Check out thegigcoach.com. If you're a Christian and you want to use music, if you're a singer or a musician, I happen to be a guitar player, if you're a piano player, or if you just like music and you don't play anything, but You want to learn to be a DJ. There is a great demand for Christian people who will play family-friendly music out there. So check out thegigcoach.com. This podcast is brought to you by thegigcoach.com. If you're a musician or singer or someone who's thought of maybe becoming a mobile DJ, I'm here to show you how to build a fun and profitable business playing family-friendly songs. How do I know? Because I've done it for over 15 years. I've been playing family-friendly music on more than 300 well-paid shows each year since 2008. If you're a Christian, like I am, you are desperately needed in the world of entertainment, now more than ever. I have a proven blueprint that will teach you how to become the most in-demand entertainer in your market, no matter what your current musical skill levels happen to be. TheGigCoach.com. Go there now and join to get lots of free information, strategies, and insights that can show you how to stop wasting your talent and start earning a good living with the gifts you've been given. TheGigCoach.com. TheGigCoach.com.